Hello and welcome to What a Scream, the horror movie podcast where I, your host, Egrene, chats with a guest about horror films. And we discuss two films that have to do with a previously randomly chosen topic. So this week, the topic is witches, something I talked about in like my second or third ever episode with Tristan Risk. So the topic has come back around, and this time my guest is Iona Smith, who is also a writer from Ghouls magazine, as well as a film critic. So the two films that me and Iona are going to be discussing is The Craft from 1996, directed by Andrew Fleming, as well as The Wretched from 2019, directed by Brett Pierce. So enjoy our little chat about witches. So I am delighted to have back on the podcast. She was on, I think, in the first season. She made me watch Prince of Darkness, was it? I have Iona Smith back. How are you, Iona?
I'm good. I promise that the film I'm bringing you this time isn't as bad as that film. I've brought one that's kind of universally liked, I think. So I think I'm going on a better track record this time.
So what have you been up to since the last time we spoke, which was, well, we've spoken in the meantime. It hasn't been two years since we've actually spoken.
I was going to say, can you imagine if me and you just completely cut contact for 2 years? It'd be really awkward.
Just avoiding each other at film festivals.
Yeah, just no eye contact. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. But yeah, no, I've been doing all sorts. I have started a master's degree in global film and television theory, and I've specialised in horror, which has been an adventure. I've really enjoyed that. In my final year of that now, so yeah. And then I have been still contributing to Ghouls, doing the odd guessing on podcasts here and there. I think yours might have been the first ever podcast experience I ever had, and It kind of gave me a positive experience to set off and do like other ones, so thank you for that.
Oh, I'm honored to have popped your podcast cherry. Yes, it is fun going on other people's podcasts because you don't have the responsibility afterwards of editing.
Yeah,
like,
that's
there
true.
It is, bye.
Just float off into the ether, never to be seen again, don't worry about it.
Yeah. So our topic for this episode is quite a broad one, but it is witches. What is your opinion of witches in horror?
So it kind of depends on the context for me, because I really, really like certain portrayals of witches in films, but then other times I'm a bit like, oh, like the hag, the villain, it always kind of irks me a little bit. I feel like witchcraft as a subject as a whole should kind of be taken slightly respectfully, because obviously there are people in reality, in real life, who follow kind of the practices of Wicca and witchcraft. And yeah, I just don't think villainizing those people is very nice. But at the same time, you do get some damn good villains from witches as well. So it's kind of a rock and a hard place situation for me.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting character to use in horror, because I think most of the time, it has amazing things to say about society's view of the femme, or, you know, of outcasts that aren't cis males. And I think it's also an interesting reflection on the filmmakers themselves, and it can especially one of the films we're going to talk about, I'm almost like, is this what you think of women? Like, you know, I think it's a really interesting tool. I love its depiction of like the power of the, you know, the feminine divine, and yeah, I think it's a really interesting tool. But I do agree with you that sometimes I'm like, oh, you're just making the witch the baddie. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, we're doing this again. All right.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, oh, we need a villainous woman. Oh, let's make her a witch. Oh, let's make her really ugly while we do it as well. Because, you know, that goes hand in hand perfectly. And you're just like, oh, okay, great. Thanks for that trope.
Yeah. Especially, Yeah, especially when we look at like older women as well, like you said, like, the hag, it's very kind of like, oh, do we have to? Like last year was a big hag kind of year. There was a lot of, aging is bad in women, which
It was really negative last year, wasn't it? It was like, oh, look at this wrinkly lady. And it was like, whoa, no, she's also beautiful. Let's not do this. Like it was nasty.
Yeah, it was. So let's get on then to chat about our first film. I'm gonna let you go first. So would you like to introduce your choice of film and give us a brief synopsis, please?
Yes, so I chose The Craft from 1996.
To the other kids at St. Bernard Academy, they were the girls who didn't belong.
Whatever you do, stay away from them.
Why?
They're witches.
But after years of being on the outside...
Why'd you lie about me?
I don't want to go out with you again. Please, stop begging. It's pathetic.
Four girls are about to discover the dark side.
You ever heard of invoking the spirit?
Black magic.
We can make things happen. I mean, this is it. This is real.
Columbia Pictures welcomes you to the Witching Hour.
Which has kind of grown to be a proper witchy cult classic, I think, especially within kind of teen audiences. I always like to think that The Craft is a very kind of accessible way for gateway horror for teenagers. But the basic synopsis of The Craft is a girl called Sarah moves to LA with her dad and a stepmom. They're trying to start a new life. She's haunted by these various hallucinations and a history of suicide, or attempted suicide. And she finds herself in a new group of girls in her new school with a particular interest in witchcraft. They kind of find out that they've found their final person for the coven, and then they're able to cast far more powerful spells, and they kind of leads them to take action against the people who've wronged them, obviously with not very good consequences.
So what was your experience of seeing The Craft for the first time?
So, oh God, I watched The Craft. I mean, this did come out when I was two, so I definitely didn't watch it when it came out. But I am also one of those people that very much in the kind of late noughties, I'd say that that's when I was really fully exploring my kind of horror favorites and working out navigating what I liked. So I did jump back into a lot of 90s stuff at that point. And The Craft just screamed at me in terms of like teen angst, and like the soundtrack was like, you know when you're like at the age where you're like, oh my God, this soundtrack is the soundtrack of my life and all that kind of stuff. Like that was The Craft for me. Like I heard that tune, that like those tunes, and was just like, oh, this is everything. And then obviously you get all the various types of women in this, although they are kind of put in their little boxes, I guess, at the same time. So you start like seeing like various parts of your friends in these girls. And it was a very, I think, eye-opening film for me, that horror doesn't just have to be male lead go smashy smashy against some sort of like monster, or one single girl running away screaming from a monster as well.
I watched The Craft. I think it was around about the same time I was in my full-on Buffy and Charmed era.
Yes.
So it was very much like, okay, I'm getting into like teen witches, female witches that aren't the typical, like we said at the top of the episode, hag kind of, yep, green face, pointy hat. And then as I was getting into them, and obviously you look back at their influences and you're like, what's this? What's The Craft? Like, I was seven when it came out, so it definitely wasn't on my radar. And so I went back and watched it and I was like, oh my God, like complete goth aesthetic, which I was incredibly into. And just like, I loved Firouza Balk as Nancy, who is like the antagonist, even though she is like, Firouza said, I played her as a psychopath. Like she was, proper. She wasn't meant to be an idol. She was meant to be a psychopath. But for some reason, it's just, you look at these four girls and they have their own power. It's not because of a man. They don't need a man to kind of
help with their problems, even though they're, you know, they mess up a bit, they're doing it for themselves. And
yeah,
it was just when you're that teenager, you're kind of like, you're looking towards these kind of idols. And especially when you are an outcast yourself, you're looking for idols that aren't, you know, at the time it was like Britney Spears and, you know, pop idols that you see and you're like, well, I don't quite fit into that.
Yes, 100%.
These group of women that I can relate to because they're outcasts and they're trying to find their own power and, you know, fight against these terrible things that are happening to them. So it was so funny because when I watched this yesterday or the day before, I logged The Craft onto my letterbox and I was like, 5 stars. and my friend, who is male, I'm just going to say that, was like, how could you give The Craft 5 stars? Terrible film. And then his wife, who I'm also in a chat, who's also like my best friend, was like, you can tell you've never been a teenage girl. Shut the fuck up.
100%. I was about to be like, a little bit male experience here from there, isn't it? oh, bless him.
I know, right? So let's talk about the four characters then. So we have Sarah, who, you know, suffers from mental health problems. We have Nancy, who is kind of lower class, is looked down upon because of it. Bonnie has visible scars from a burn, and Rochelle is the victim of a racist bully. How do you think those four characters, like, is it a good depiction of, say, like the teenage experience, and what did you think of how they handled those experiences with their magic?
I think that in terms of them being a representation of like the teen female experience, they are all kind of very extreme versions of it. Obviously, like, not everyone has certain, I'd say, aesthetic concerns like Neve Campbell's character does, in terms of she doesn't feel like her self-esteem is very high because of her burns. However, as a teenage girl, many times your self-image kind of is diminished. You really don't feel comfortable in your own skin. So the relation there, kind of pushed to an extreme, kind of calls to a lot of people. I think that the bullying thing definitely calls to a lot of people, regardless of whether that's a racial profiling thing or whether that is bullying in general. You are always going to get bullied at some point in your teen years, unfortunately. It's a horrible thing to say, but it's unfortunately true. Everyone goes through it. You've also got the mental health issues, obviously. You're a teenager, your body and your mind is changing constantly. So a lot of people can find relation to that. And then in terms of the kind of social class situation with Nancy, I feel like that's one of the ones, I guess, that kind of called to me the most when I was a teenager, because coming from a working class family, and I'm not saying that I was in a situation the same as Nancy in any way. Obviously, again, hers is a very extreme situation, but coming from a working class background and perhaps seeing other people in situations that were far better financially, being able to afford certain things, maybe being commented on because you didn't have the latest or the newest clothing or the gadget or whatever it was growing up. I feel like that's kind of why a lot of people get drawn to Nancy, because she is one of the most relatable characters, just again, in a very extreme version of itself. So yeah, I think in terms of the female teen experience, they all have their merits of kind of girls can go, no, I've seen that in my life, if not directly with people that I've experienced in school, that kind of thing. How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with you. And I think they're a great foursome to have because it's the well-rounded teen experience. You know, yes. Like pretty much everything I've ever gone to is kind of ever gone through during my teen experience is represented in The Craft with these four young women. And I mean, like you said, it's like super, like there's a few bits that I'm kind of like looking back now, and maybe this is just with like a 2024 vision, I'm looking back and I'm like, is it a great message to send? Like, you know, I'm kind of like especially like with Rochelle's character, so yeah. Her bully really picks on her hair because she's obviously got like afro hair, you know, like afro black kind of textured hair. And when she does magic, she causes the bully's hair to fall out.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I'm like, it kind of turns this sympathetic lens onto the bully, which bothered me a bit. I was like, no, she's like It's a terrible. She's not even like trying to hide it with microaggression. She is out and out, like as said.
Yeah,
she's a terrible racist, and I'm like, why are we giving her sympathy? Because I don't care. Like, she deserves it.
Like, 100%. Like, no, I literally feel exactly the same. Like, the whole the scene where she's in the shower and her hair looks horrific on the top because it's obviously like it's all falling out, but there's also obviously like all the scabs and all the like. It's very visual, like the way that it happens. And she sits there and she feels and she gets all very like obviously upset about the situation. And she's like, why is this happening to me? Like, I never deserve this, blah, blah, blah. And I do kind of find myself sitting there, like you said, in the 2024 kind of post everything that we all have been through as humans now going, no, you deserve that. You're a horrible racist piece of shit. Like, yeah. I hope that your hair continues to fall out.
Yeah.
I hope that the rest of your bodily hair also falls out. And you just look like an egg. Like, that's all I want. I just want her to be an egg lady. Because yeah. she deserves it. She deserves worse, in my opinion. But that's just me being very, very anti-racist.
Yeah, so there was just things. And even, like, you know, with Bonnie, when, you know, her scars magically disappear, I'm like, oh, I wish we could say that, you know, even with your scars, you're beautiful. And but that's, I guess this is from, like, a teenage girl perspective.
Yeah,
but it's not from us as adults looking back and being like, no, like, you know, just because you have a difference doesn't mean that you're not beautiful. So that was my only, like, watching it again, I was just like, that was my only thing. But yeah, the whole racist storyline is like, no. And like, Rochelle starts to feel sorry for her bully, and I'm like, no, girl, no.
Like, you take that power, you enjoy what you've done, and you just go and flourish in your life now, because that's an obstacle that you've got out of the way, and you are good. Like, you don't need to feel bad about that one.
So we have Skeet Ulrich's character in this.
Skeet.
Would I drink his bathwater? Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
And he plays Chris Hooker, who is Sarah's love interest gone wrong. I want to know what you think about this storyline, because it kind of disturbed me a lot. Again, looking back on a 2024 perspective, it kind of disturbed me a lot, this storyline. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I very much think of this storyline differently to what Teenage Iona did, because Teenage Iona was like, oh, it's so nice. Like, he follows her around like a lost puppy now, and it's all so sweet, and he adores her, and he's obsessed with her, and oh my God, I wish someone was obsessed with me like that. No, girl, no. Like, as an adult, I'm like, if a man started following me around and was like, I want to be with you at all times, I think we should move in together, I think this, I'd be like, dude, I am getting a restraining order. Like, I am calling the police, and you are not going anywhere near me ever again, no matter how hot I used to think you were. But also, at the same time, like, I don't, as an adult, I don't understand why you would want a man who very clearly gaslit and lied and made up just horrific stuff about you to the rest of the school, why you would then want that person's attention and affections. Like, make him obsessed with like an animal or something. Make it weird for him. Don't put it on you. Like, make him curse so he falls in love with the next door neighbor's dog, although actually no, that poor dog, maybe not. maybe a random like sewer rat or something, I don't know. Like, make him fall in love with something weird, not you, because that's gonna open up a whole set of problems for you.
And I kind of saw it as though, so she does this spell where he becomes obsessed with her, and he ends up sexually assaulting her.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like the view of it was kind of like, well, it's your own fault because you put this spell on him. And I didn't like that. I felt it was a little bit victim blaming.
Yeah, that was incredibly victim blaming. To be fair, I hadn't even considered that section of it yet. And it is not okay. It's really not okay in grown-up brain, it's no.
But I kind of, and then we're kind of looking at, you know, Nancy's retaliation on it, and she kind of deceives him into about to sleep with her before Sarah walks in. And it's all a bit like, at one point I'm like, yeah, Nancy, you get it, like, you get back at him, you do what he did. But I'm like, that's not the best retaliation. But obviously she doesn't think that way, because she is, you know,
high off power. Yeah, she's not 100% compass mentis at that point, let's just put it that way. I mean, I do think the whole sex for revenge storylines are kind of a gray area for me, regardless of the film. I think within certain contexts, I can kind of be like, okay, I see this, I understand it. For example, something like Promising Young Woman, like fully invested in that story, but also 100% accepting the flaws and the messages that that movie gives you. With The Craft, I am a bit like, no, Nancy, you go home. Like you're basically a fetus. Let's not do this. Like your brain does not need this for later trauma as an adult. Like no. So yeah, I think the age of the characters in this also kind of plays into it for me quite a lot for the ick, I guess.
And also this whole storyline then again turns our sympathies onto Chris because he then like flies out the window and dies. So it's kind of like, and even like Sarah's like, oh, poor Chris. And I'm like, no.
No, it's like he was a piece of shit. Like he was a horrific, horrific man, even if he was played by Skeet. But then also, let's be honest, Skeet's best characters are when he's a bad boy.
That's very true. I rewatched Scream. Scream was my first watch 2024, like it was my
Oh,
first watch 2023. And I'm just like,
yes.
ah, Skeet and Matthew, they're
Oh, I
just,
know.
love
The
them.
psychos together. Love them so much.
I kind of feel like we're pulling this movie apart, even though we both love this film. I'm
I
kind of
know, I
like,
know.
these are its bad points, though. But, you know,
Yes.
like, it was the 90s, so.
Exactly. It was a very, very different time for this kind of representation. I think if The Craft, I know obviously there's been remakes and things like that of The Craft, so like The Craft Legacy and stuff like that, but I think if the film in its original iteration was remade in 2024, I think we'd see some changes.
Definitely, definitely. What do you think it kind of says about female power, both back in the 90s and now looking back?
I think back in the 90s, it kind of says you can have the power if you want, ladies, but you're going to have to deal with the consequences as well. Pointing, victim blaming, as we previously said. But I think for 2024, I want to take a slightly more positive spin on it, I think, in the sense that what I want the film to mean, and I don't know if anyone else kind of reads it like this, but in 2024, I want to kind of read it as these women have been oppressed their entire lives by certain aspects of their life. And they are trying to finally push those boundaries and trying to finally get out of the boxes that other people have put them in, and the expectations that have been set on them. And even though not all of them do that successfully, I do like to think that Sarah's ending at least gives a little bit more of a positive message of no, you can have that power, but also have that morality, and it's not going to destroy you as a person.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like, obviously, in the night, like I said, you know, witches are an interesting depiction at what kind of the view of females were at the time. And I guess in the 90s, we had, was it the third wave of feminism?
I believe so.
With like riot, you know, the Riot Girl movement and this.
Yep.
But looking back, especially when we talk about nowadays about stuff like white feminism, where it's like, okay, we want to fight for the power. But are we going to use it in a moral way? And I guess, like, looking back, this is a really good depiction of that. That, like, yes, we're going to fight for our power and we're going to, you know, try to use it to elevate ourselves. But at the same time, let's not become our abusers or our oppressors, you know.
Yeah.
Let's not go crazy with the power. Let's use it to bring up people rather than put down people, like what it turns out Nancy, Bonnie, and Rochelle try to do to Sarah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought, I think looking back, that that's like a really important take on it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I feel like overall, this film, minus the problems that come from it being a 90s film, I feel like the underlying message is still a positive one, and I still feel like I want to cling on to that so hard because I do have so much love for this film.
Yeah,
So
same.
I do think no matter the issues that we can kind of be aware of from it in terms of representations, I do still think that I love it for the positive message at the same time.
What do you think it has much of a legacy when we look back, or like an influence even in today's society?
I think, do you know what? Because of how much I've seen 90s culture coming back, because, you know, every decade has its kind of renewal, and you have all the youths now trying to like dress as if like we did in the 90s. And I'm like, yeah. Whoa, honey, no. Some of those things need to stay back there. Like, let's not bring back low-rise jeans. That was upsetting for everyone. However, I do think that certain pop culture references, like things like The Craft and Scream and stuff like that, are kind of really making a comeback with younger generations. And I just feel like that's such a positive thing for me, because I'm like, oh, you guys are experiencing this for the first time like we did. Like, you're seeing this, and you're kind of like bringing it into your like things that people quote. Like, so the whole like, oh, we're the weirdos, mister. Like, the amount of times I've heard like Gen Z is saying that now, and I'm like, ah, children, yes. Like, yes, you go be the weirdos. Like, that's so good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that's kind of mirroring back now, which is quite nice.
Yeah, even in the fashion nowadays, like, you know, kids in my area, I see them get on the bus, I'm like, that's pure Nancy Downs. Like, how they're dressed. I'm like, that is Nancy Downs to a T. Like, this
100%.
Is... 100%. And I guess even when we look back, like I said at the beginning, like Buffy and Charmed, like I don't think they would have had a place. I think Buffy was like a year after, I think, or possibly the same. But I feel like the evolution of the character of Willow wouldn't have happened without The Craft.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good depiction of witchcraft?
I think certain elements are and certain elements aren't. So you get the kind of so for example, the lady that they meet in the shop, who is like the shop owner, who is very clearly also a witch of some degree. I feel like her representation of that kind of education into witchcraft and the energy and kind of taking I guess elements from the earth and all the other kind of elements and bringing that into the appreciation for witchcraft is quite like interesting and quite a positive thing to kind of portray. However, I do also think that in terms of the fact that three of the four girls end up using it for quite selfish means kind of makes me think they've almost been, I don't want to say like tainted by it, but do you know what I mean? Like they've been taken, led astray by the power that they get from the witchcraft. And obviously witchcraft for people in the real world is not like that. That's not what you use witchcraft for. Like anyone that I've ever met that says that they practice witchcraft or a Wicca or anything like that, say that it's all to do with stopping other people from causing harm upon you or other people. And it's none of it is to do with that real kind of negativity and that horrible energy that a few of the girls from this get.
Yeah, I know they had, didn't they have like a Wiccan on set kind of?
Yeah, I read that, but I was a bit like, I see it in some places and then other places I'm like, I don't know if she was there for that day.
She was
out. You know what I mean? She was taking a tea break and they just filmed this scene really quickly while she was away.
Yeah, I guess the very like, the 90s, early 2000s Wicca, like it, I feel like it did do a good job, like you said, with the shopkeeper about being, you know, like it's about the four corners, the elements, like nature, you know, there's one of the lines of Nancy's is like, if God and the devil were fighting, Manon would be the stadium they fight upon.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really interesting, like almost kind of roundup of what kind of Wicca and witchcraft is. It's about like the environment and the land and nature, etc., etc. I do kind of think that there are, like, there's always going to be people that practice black magic, so I'm kind of like, yeah, there is that part to it where people actively want to do harm, like whether it works or whether, you know, whatever they believe in, there's always going to be that darker side to people who want to take something that is pure and about, you know, not harming things. They're always going to take it the wrong way. So I do kind of agree with it on that perspective, but not so much when we talk about like Wicca.
Yeah, I feel like it's human nature to have nefarious intentions at some point. Like, you never meet someone who is 1000% good. Like that, it doesn't happen. To be human is to be flawed. But at the same time, yeah, I feel like when we're leaning towards kind of the Wicca practices rather than the fictional kind of film representation of witchcraft, it's, yeah, the lines blur a little bit in as to how good the representation is in this film, I think.
So I take it you would recommend The Craft to horror fans.
Oh, 100%. I would recommend The Craft to horror fans, not horror fans. I'd recommend it to people who just want that hit of 90s nostalgia, people who perhaps want to start off in horror and they're not sure where to start, but they like the kind of high school drama 90s teen fads. I think this is very accessible to a lot of people.
I was going to say, like, oh, I'd recommend it to teenagers, but I don't know any teenagers. Random
You
person on the bus, watch
should watch
The
The Craft. It's like, okay, random lady, thank you.
Craft.
I think we're both at that age at the moment, aren't we? Where we're not really in the vicinity of teens. Like, eventually we will be in like a little bit, but not right now.
No, my son's still far too young for
Yeah,
that. So let's move on to this next film then, which is kind of like a complete 180, I guess, from The Craft, which makes it quite good for this episode, despite its strengths or lack of strengths, let's say. So I chose The Wretched.
Hey, neighbor. You see anything weird outside your house, you tell me, all right?
Dad, Mom's being weird.
Mom's always been weird. What are you doing up here?
Dylan!
Don't let her in.
My son likes to play hide and seek. Can you bring him down?
I didn't say he was here.
You're a very stupid boy.
Can I help you?
Is Dylan home?
Dylan, down here, baby.
You know, your son, Dylan, I don't have a son.
He had no idea who I was talking about.
Listen to Mommy!
He's gone. I know it. I'd like to report a missing kid.
Which is from 2019. It's written and directed by the Pierce brothers, and it follows this teenage guy, Ben, who goes to his dad for the summer to work with him while his parents are kind of going through a divorce. And he realizes that there is a witch next door who is kidnapping children and making people forget and is generally causing mischief, to put it lightly. What did you think of The Wretched?
So we were just chatting very briefly before we started recording, and I'd said to you that this is the second time that I've watched this film. I enjoyed it more the second time just because I tried to kind of remove some of the cynicism I had from the first time. But looking back, the first time I watched this film, I was like, oh no, this is a monstrous lady that lives in a hole in the woods. This is not a witch. This is a bog creature from the woods.
I mean, it sums up me, but sure. Bog creature
My
lives in
God, you are
the
not a bog creature. Are you kidding me?
Coming to get your kids. No, I don't like kids that much, so I
Oh
like
yeah,
my
that's
own. I just want to say I like my own.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but you can like your own, but not like others. That is completely fair.
Yeah, I was watching this film. So again, like similarities to Craft, it's set with teenagers. So it's a
Yes.
very teenager experience. You know, we've got a child of divorce. He's getting a job. You know, he likes a girl from the popular kid group, but he's also got like a good friend girl. And but whereas The Craft, like we said, is very well-rounded teenage experience, this feels very two-dimensional to me.
Yeah,
And
incredibly.
just a bit like, I don't care about these characters at all. In fact, I hope the Bog Witch Lady gets them.
Yeah, I was very much cheering for the Bog Witch Lady. But at the same time, I was like, oh, should I be cheering for this Bog Witch Lady? Because her representation is not good.
So the next door neighbors, it's got a wife, a father, mother, a father, two kids, a tiny baby, and kind of about a 4 or 5 year old. Mm-hmm. And we're introduced to this family through the mother and the son. They're going through the woods. They're a little bit lost. And he hears a name calling from him from this hole in like a tree stump. And then they go home and they've hit a deer on the way home, like completely random. Like, here's a deer they've hit. Not even like she's hunted this deer. She's just hit it. But she's like, I was taught hunting as a kid, so I'm going to gut it. And that is how the witch comes into their home. But I just thought the whole thing felt like a really weird set, like, way of trying to be like, non-conforming gender roles are bad. We want you to conform to gender roles. Because she's like, oh, you know, I'm kind of this, I drink beer and my husband's got the baby on his hip, but I'm the one drinking beer and cutting open a deer carcass. Yeah. And then she's the one that's like possessed by the witch and all her family are, you know, taken and murdered and whatever. And it just felt very like, if you're not the typical mom, then you're going to destroy your family.
Yeah. Like the fact that at one point she just turns around to her son and goes, oh, hold mummy's beer. And it's like, no, like, why are you doing this so like aggressively on the nose to make her not like other women? Like, shut up. Like, stop this.
Yeah. And then she gets punished for that. Like, it's like, if you're not in like a heteronormative, you know, conforming to typical gender roles, then you're going to destroy your family and hide your kids' bodies in the basement. That's literally what this film says.
Literally. It's like, all right, you need to just get back in your homemaker box and just, like, you know, be very stereotypical femme, like, dote on your husband, you take the baby kind of thing. It's like, no, I also don't want that. I just want a normal person. You don't need to be an exaggerated version. Just be a normal, functioning person.
Yeah. And like, when we think about, especially if we think about, say, like, historically, the way that like autonomous females have been portrayed as witches and as like inherently evil, this film does nothing to like squash those. Like, it cements it so bad. And the fact that this witch possesses all the women, like, it doesn't possess any of the men. And it's all like, you know, the protagonist is a male.
Yeah.
And he has to like fight against this woman. And, you know, even the young child that this guy is trying to protect is a young boy. And it's just very, and, you know, the dad is the one at the end who survives as well. And it's just very like every single woman that comes into this boy's life, whether it's like his dad's girlfriend gets it.
Yeah.
And then at the end, his dad is like, well, I guess I'll come back to the family home and me and your mom can get back together. And it's like, what?
It's like, you guys are divorcing for a reason. Let's just remember that. You know, this isn't going to fix your marriage, because your then other girlfriend that you had kind of a thing with while you guys were broken up became a witch. Like, that's not a reason to get back with your ex-wife.
Yeah. And then the protagonist is like best friend, who is, you know, very spunky. She knows what she likes. She's very confident. She's the one who gets it, who becomes the witch at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you painting all these strong, confident women who are just living their lives however they want to? Why are you like, oh, they're the bad ones, they're the evil ones that are going to destroy our future generations? That is literally what this film is saying.
Basically, yeah. And it's like, I'm not going to lie, I do slightly like that end shot just because of the, ooh, it's going to happen. But then I very quickly remind myself, wait, no, because she's, again, like you said, being punished for being an independent woman who is not like a stereotypical girly girl. Ooh, I like a boy, look at me, kind of girl. Like, she knows what she wants. She gets what she wants. That's like it. And then all of a sudden she's been possessed as well. And you're like, oh, okay, this isn't over. And oh, they're punishing the one final woman in this film who hadn't been punished yet.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not nice.
Yeah. So I kind of just want to know, like, the Pierce brothers, are you okay?
Who hurt you? Yeah. Although the one thing I will give them credit for, and I don't like that I'm giving them credit for this film because I do just want to rip it apart, but the fact that they're not afraid to kill children in this film. I know it sounds horrible, but like, I'm very, you know those horror films that like threaten to like kill the kids and then they just go, oh no, it's fine, the children are safe, don't worry about it. And you're actually like, no, in a more realistic situation, that kid would die. Like that kid would be dead.
Yeah.
So I feel like that I'm like, okay, you're not afraid to kind of go towards the shock factor of like, no, they're not safe. Like there is a, like, you're going to have dead kids in this film. Apart from that though, no. Like just no, guys, come on. You need to go and have a really serious talk about your views on women.
Yeah, and I think even with, like, you know, the sign of the witch is an upside down triangle, which is like it's one of like the old symbols for woman or female is an upside down triangle, and you're like, really?
You're like, oh, you're being that on the nose. Okay.
Yeah, you could be more subtle about this now.
I also very much like, you know, I think it's when the first woman, so the neighbor who, when she gets possessed and she's in the mirror, like investigating her face, when it starts kind of falling apart a little bit because the witch has been in the body for too long. I very much like that there's like a very extreme kind of close-up of her eye, and she's like, oh no, let me fix that. Oh no, I have to keep up appearances. Look at me, I'm a woman that has to look normal. And like, she's like trying to fix this like very clearly gammy eye. And you're like, nothing is saving that, I'm afraid. But also the classic, like, oh, I'm a woman, I have to look nice kind of appearance goes there as well. And you're like, oh, guys, no.
Oh, mate. Yeah, And I know they tried to do that little twist kind of towards the end where you know, the whole thing of the witch is she makes you forget that you've got like young children in your life.
Yeah.
And the whole twist is that it turns out that Ben has a little brother that he's then got to go save from the witch. And it's just like, I just don't think this film is strong enough to have that sort of twist. Like,
no, I think if I cared more about the characters, specifically the guys in this film, if I really gave more of a shit about the lead character in Ben, like maybe I'd be like, oh my God, the twist. Like, I think I'd be more invested in it. But no, it kind of just falls flat like all the other character representations in this.
And like him as a protagonist is such, like, in The Craft, we like all four of the girls, even though, you know, they've got their flaws or whatever. One's a psychopath. But, like, he is such a terrible character. Like, he tries to kiss his best friend and then goes skinny dipping with another girl. And then, like, you know, this is after throwing up on his best friend. And then is really horrible to his dad's girlfriend. And it's like, he's just a really horrible kid.
The only way I can describe him is, you know, when you've had ice cream in your fridge or in your freezer for a bit too long and it's like gone out of date and you have that kind of like
freezer burn.
Yeah, that freezer burn kind of like aftertaste.
Yeah.
It's like that as a person and they've tried to give it a sex drive. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the representation of that annoying, gross flavor, and they've tried to make him want to have sex with people.
They've basically made him a horny, sorry, forgotten about, you know, like, you know those ice creams that are covered in cardboard, they're not even in a tub, it's like wrapped in cardboard, like I think it's like HB or Walls or whatever they're called. That's him as a human being.
He's just bland and not great. And he's also got that horrible kind of, he leaves a bad taste in your mouth with his personality. You're just a bit like, ugh.
Yeah.
No, dude.
Yeah. And obviously not all protagonists have to be like,
no,
likable or whatever. No, people are people. But it's just, I think you just needed a bit more for this film to be like, okay, I care about these characters. Like, as soon as I turned it off, I forgot about this film.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I forgot about the twist quite quickly. Like, I was trying to explain it to my partner and I was like, oh, yeah, so I watched this. And then about 10 minutes later, I was like, oh, yeah, no, there was something else to do with it. There was a twist where it turns out. And he was like, what? Like, what do you mean? That surely you should have described that when you were first describing the film to me. I was like, yeah, no.
Forgot about it. Yeah, so when we think about depictions of witchcraft, I'm gonna, I guess, talk for both of us and be like, this is a terrible, terrible depiction of, like, witchcraft and the witch.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can describe her as a witch, really. She's like, because usually there's some sort of humanity, at least a little bit, even in the hag representations of a witch, in that kind of stuff, there's usually some sort of humanity there. And for her, she's just a funny little creature that lives in the woods and that chameleons herself into other ladies' bodies. And you're like, is that witchcraft or is that just a strange little bog monster?
Yeah, it's almost like, is it like you said, is it witchcraft or are you a skinwalker? Like, what is
skinwalker?
Yeah. And I feel like, I'm not saying we can never have the witch as the villain.
No, of course.
But I feel like we've moved on from this, the witch is an out and out villain. You know, we've had films like The Witch, where the witches are, you know, they steal babies to make potions or to eat or whatever. And they're still very much the baddie. Yeah. Even in, you know, Autopsy of Jane Doe, she is the baddie. But it's nuanced. It's like she's the baddie because this is what society has made her. So she is going to just be like, you know what? You make me out to be a monster, I'm going to be a monster. Whereas this is just like, you witchy women, you're bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like this commentary on, you know, feminism or just women not being a typical, you know, 50s housewife. It just feels very much like,
oh, wagging the finger at those
women. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, excuse me, sir.
do you think that we would benefit from a prequel to this film? Like, do you think that seeing how I guess the wretch, how she got to that point, so where she came from, what her origins are, because do you think that would add a little bit more understanding to the storyline, or do you think we should just let it die?
I mean, let it die, please. Mm-hmm. put it in the ground. No gravestone. Doesn't deserve it. I feel like not so much a prequel. Like, obviously, you can't go back in time and be like, you know, someone in the writing room was like, no, we have to do. Like, he goes on a website that's literally like witches.com and he's like, oh, witches.
Yeah, he's like, oh, let me do my really important research while this little gif of a witch flies across my screen.
You're from like a completely like 90s website. It's not even like a proper, it's, you know, pure 90s. I feel like if they'd added in like, okay, what is this marking, who is this witch, what is the history of this area that we live in, if they'd had like, forget the twist altogether, like got rid of the twist and had that segment as like, well, who is this person, you know, why is she doing this, what is the history of this area, has there been any historical, well, I mean, we get the glimpse of the historical, it happened back in the 80s. That, I mean, that whole opening scene didn't need it at all.
That was such a nothing scene. Like, nothing, it didn't link to anything. Yeah. I was like, I'd forgotten that happened at the beginning, and I watched it and I was like, oh yeah, wait, well, do we ever see any of these people again? No? Okay, right. I guess we're going to go to the modern day now. What is this?
So if they'd just taken all of these pieces out and then just done one segment on the background, it would have made so much more sense.
Just literally just give us an exposition dump. Yeah. Like, I'm not usually an advocate for an exposition dump, like in the middle of a film to be like, here's everything you need to know. But for once, I think this film might actually benefit from it.
So the Pierce brothers, if you're out there.
Just do some big old exposition dumps, guys. That's all you need. Yeah. And maybe talk about feminism a little bit between yourselves as well, to, you know.
Yeah.
Get those monsters out your cupboard.
Yeah, I can't help but think the Pierce brothers are like, what are they, like 4chan incels? Like, it just, it reeks of this.
It reeks incel culture.
Yeah,
it really makes me sad. I'm like, oh no, don't make incel filmmakers famous. Let's not do that. Although saying that, I don't think this film was particularly famous, so I think we're okay.
I think it was fine. Although because it came out around the pandemic, it was like the top grossing film in cinemas for like, let me see if I can get it up. It was at number one at the box office in its open weekend because there was no other films released.
Everyone else is like, no, we're taking a break. And, yeah. and these guys are like, our time to shine.
Oh, dear. No. But since then, I think it's very much like... But it's weird because, like, it got really good reviews on, like, Rotten Tomatoes. It's got, like, an approval rating of 75%. Who are these people? I need to hunt them down and shake them.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. Even on Metacritic, it has, like, 61 out of 100, which, like, isn't brilliant, but it's still over half.
Yeah, that's still, like, not bad. Like, it's not good, but it's not bad.
Yeah. Like, the only, well, out of, like, the reviews that I'm seeing here on RogerEbert.com, it got like 1.5. And that's the only like, but even then it was just like, it's just not good enough. And I'm like, yes, but I feel like I need to do like a retrospective on this and be like, this is why The Wretched is bad.
Yeah. Like, listen up. All you incels out there, sort yourselves out.
Yeah, please. And don't make films. So I take it you wouldn't recommend this to horror fans.
No, I don't think I would. I think, yeah, especially on second watch. Like I said, even though there were certain things that I enjoyed slightly more this time, just because I was trying to kind of get myself into it to enjoy it, I don't think I'd recommend it overall still.
No. Like, I think it was a good... sticking up for myself here. I think it was a really good pick for me to do for this episode because it has that, you know, the comparison with The Craft about how women are being viewed and, you know, what it says about the state of, like, the female and non-cis male. It's a terrible film. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
No. Let it die.
just watch The Craft and then have a look at The Wretched on your streamers and then go back and just watch The Craft again.
Yeah.
Like just read the synopsis of The Wretched, go, nah, not for me, and go and watch The Craft for a second time. That's a much better use of your time.
So that is us basically saying we would choose The Craft over The Wretched.
100%. 100%.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So what do you think is the future for the witch in horror?
Oh, I mean, you know me, I love a good female empowerment story. I love a story where you don't have a perfect woman. You have a flawed human character who finds their strength in kind of their own independence, their own autonomy. And I would love to see more about that in witchy films in the future. I can't get enough of it. I can't help myself. But then I am also a huge fan of The Witch, which is just, it's been one of my favorite witchy films in kind of the most recent years. And I feel like that representation I would like to see more of as well, but in different time settings. So it doesn't have to be ye olde England or anything like that. It can be kind of in the modern day and show those kind of representations of those characters in the here and now.
Yeah.
Like what happens when you dump that kind of witch character in the middle of, say, Arizona or something in modern day? How are they going to cope? How are they going to live? Like what do you get kind of from that?
So, yeah.
I would like more of that.
I would like to see more of the witch being a scary character, but like I said about like the Autopsy of Jane Doe, have it nuanced where it's not like women are terrible, where it's like, it's just more of that vibe of like, well, if you say someone's a monster, you make a monster. So I want more of that, but I would also like a witch-centered film and center it around this idea of hagsploitation and the hag and have that kind of reverted and almost discussed in some way, whether that means The Craft in octogenarians, like would love to see that set in an old people's home and a bunch of like, you know, 80 year old women finding their power. I think that would be, I would just like to see that because something about the whole character of the hag, especially with it, like, you know, the amount of films we had in 2023 about it. There is a film, though, isn't there, that came out last year. I cannot remember what it was called. And I think it was kind of about this. I feel I think it was like a Scottish film or an English film.
And I can Google that.
I feel like I'm describing that film that I keep meaning to watch.
I think that's the type of film that I definitely need to look into as well. I'm gonna do a cheeky Google while we're chatting because that sounds like right up my alley.
Well, I'd love to know what the keywords you're googling. Women, witch power.
I put witchcraft 2023 retired. there is a film that came out called Heir of the Witch.
No, I don't think it was that.
No, that doesn't look like it's right. Well, I feel like this is going to be my job for today now. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole of looking for this film that you just described, because that sounds right up my street.
It was either 2023 or maybe it might have been 2022. But I definitely feel like there was a film that came out that was like, it was about an older woman finding her power. I'm going to have to look this up. Yeah, that's going to bother me now. Or is it going to be... Every now and then in our ghouls chat, I'm like, so I'm thinking of this film, and I don't know if it's a real film or not. I'm going to need you to help.
Oh my God, the amount of times that the ghouls have saved me with that. And I'm like, right, here was a really obscure description of a film that I'm thinking of. Someone tell me what it is. And they'll get it straight away. And I'm like, how? Like, that is witchcraft. Yeah. That is definite witchcraft.
Yeah, so if anyone knows the name, actually, we'll put it in the ghouls chat now.
Yeah.
And be like, maybe in, 5 minutes, someone will come up with...
And be like, haha, I know this.
That's what it was called. So if you were a witch, what kind of witch do you think you'd be?
I think I would probably be a witch whose power came from the earth. I'd quite like to be a bit of a nature-y, witchy kind of character. Like, I would love to be the type of witch that... Like my dream. So there's a house in the town that I live in at the moment, which sits like right by the Thames. And it's like up a few steps, and it's like covered in like ivy, and there's like a big willow tree out in the garden. It's all walled in. And I just have an image of me being the little old lady that all the kids are slightly scared of, like living in that house, and everyone has the rumor that I'm a witch. And they're like, oh no, don't go to the witch's house. Like, she'll kill you and make you into cookies or something. And then actually, if anyone actually comes to visit me, they just realize that I just really have a nice garden and that I do like a lot of botanical stuff. And I'm actually just a normal old lady. But that's the kind of witch I'd like to be, kind of really getting into nature, getting into my plant life. That would be, that's the retirement dream.
So I just want to say, I put that film into our girls' chat, and Amber came up. I was like, it's She Will. The film is called She Will.
Okay, I'm going to need to Google this film and see what the heck it's about. Oh, yeah. Other people are being like, yep, She Will. Yeah. Caitlin has backed her up. I think this is it. Go on. What is She Will? 2021, so you were close.
Yeah. Well, 3 years at this point, which is kind of scary.
Oh, God, don't. The fact that we are now in 2024 is freaking me out a little bit. Ooh, former film star goes into a healing retreat in Scotland with her nurse after a double mastectomy. The place she stays is a site where women were burnt as witches centuries before. Their ashes fill the land and give her power to exact revenge with her dreams. Oh, my God, I need to see this film.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say, like, I'm going to watch this now, but I have, like, 6 films to watch.
It's being added to your continuous list of stuff you're going to need to experience at some point.
Exactly. But yes, thank you, ghouls, for saving us.
Yes. We love our ghoul gang. They're so useful.
Yes. Back to the whole, like, what witch? I think I'm a kitchen witch.
Love that.
Just because I love cooking and baking. Yep. And apparently, so I'm a Taurus, and apparently Tauruses are meant to be like green witches and really good with like plants. And I'm like, I kill every green thing that comes into my path. So that's not me.
I'm a Capricorn, and isn't that supposed to be like a water-based one? And I can't swim, so I don't think I really relate to mine either. I'm like, I just like plants. I mean, I've got my little dude in the background as we're zooming, my little house plant here, who I love dearly.
So, I kill cactus, so I just like, that's like, a special power.
maybe you're like an anti-botanical witch. Yeah. You're just like, no, curse these plants.
Literally the witch from The Wretched. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
I told you, bog witch.
Oh, I'm sorry, just to go back to that film, that stupid thing when she puts the plant behind his ear and it turns out to be a fake flower. I was like, shut the fuck up. Stop trying to be clever.
But look, we see her pick it. That's the thing. We see her, like, pick the flower.
I know. I was like, oh, God, this is so stupid. Anyway,
enough of that.
That's my final point.
Sorry, I just like turned on the trailer for She Will. Scared me a bit. thank you so much, Iona, for coming on and chatting about witches. And again, I am so sorry I made you watch The Wretched again.
It's okay. I feel like this is almost like a little bit of secret revenge from me making you watch Prince of Darkness. So
I mean,
we're even, girl, don't worry.
I mean, not gonna lie. So where can people find you on the interwebs if they choose to do so?
So I am available on pretty much every social media platform. My handle is fall_out_Iona because I am still a dirty little emo kid at heart. Yeah, I'm usually rambling on there about something generally usually to do with Final Destination or other stuff. But yeah, and I also might, little bit of an inside goss for you here, I might also be maybe starting a new social page at some point this year, because I might also be starting a new podcast. It's in the plan for 2024, so we'll see.
Keep an eye out and an ear. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much again for coming on.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So that was my chat there with Iona Smith about witches in horror. And we talked about 1996's The Craft as well as 2019's The Wretched. So what did you think of this week's episode? Are you a fan of witches in horror? Are you a fan of how they are depicted? Let us know on our social media. So that is Twitter @what_scream. And Instagram @WhatAScream, and we're also on TikTok @WhatAScreamPodcast. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe on whatever podcast listening device thingamajig platform. There you go, that's the word, platform that you listen to me on. And don't forget, we also have a website now, www.whatascreampodcast.com, where you can keep up with the podcast as well as movies, murder and mayhem, as well as reviews for all upcoming and new releases. So don't forget to stay horrific. Goodbye.